Good evening and welcome to worship. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for drawing each of us here tonight to receive the graceful influences that come through this sanctuary, in the silence, through sacrament, scripture, and sermon. We ask that you would bless each of us, touch us deeply with your loving presence, feed us with your wisdom, and send us home changed. In Christ we pray.
Staying in that place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. First reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 30. Every word of God is tested. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Add nothing to his words, lest he reprove you and you will be exposed as a deceiver. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Put falsehood and lying afar from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Provide me only with the food I need, lest being full I deny you, saying, "Who is the Lord?" Or being in want I steal and profane the name of God. The word of the Lord. A second reading taken from Psalms 119. Our response, your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. Remove me far from the way of falsehood and favor me with your law. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. The law of your mouth is to me more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. Your word, O Lord, endures forever, and it is firm as the heavens. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. From every evil way, I withhold my feet, that I may keep your word. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. Through your precepts, I gain discernment, and therefore I hate every false way. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. Falsehood I hate and abhor. Your law I love. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 9. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither walking stick, nor sack, nor food, nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. tonight we ask two questions of these scriptures, and hopefully they ask questions of us. How we get things done and how we take care of ourselves. And these principles that come from the scriptures give a little bit of clarity and light for a spiritual perspective, how we can answer these questions. How we get things done and how we take care of ourselves. How we get things done and how we take care of ourselves reveals a lot about what we trust in, what we value, what we want out of life. Let's start with the first question, how we get things done. Jesus, in this powerful passage where he gives authority to his 12 disciples, teaches us one thing about that question and how we answer it, how we get things done. Number one, you get things done by not doing it yourself. Delegate. Okay? So Jesus teaches us that even Jesus can't get it done. Jesus cannot just do it. He has to empower others to help him do his mission. Number one insight. What humility, what wisdom, what guidance. We get things done by asking others to help us. We get things done by helping others get their stuff done. It's really quite interesting. The other aspect to Jesus' ministry is that he gets things done by conveying his authority and power to others. And that's the second insight that we gain from this, is that we get things done by drawing from an authority that is not our own. We get things done by calling upon the Almighty, the Absolute in Gurdjieff's terms, the higher, the authority above us, being born from above, calling down that higher energy. And by the way, when we say higher, we mean deeper or broader or fuller, because up isn't higher. Up is everywhere in this universe. So we're calling from something, for something from other than just this level of existence on planet Earth. From a source that is the source of at least our solar system, and if not our solar system, then perhaps our supercluster, and if not our supercluster, perhaps the whole universe. Sources within sources within sources. It's coming from somewhere. And that spiritual authority came through Jesus, the vehicle, landed on this earth as a human being, fully human, and conveyed a unique and new spiritual authority to do something. And that was really significant, that he gave his power, his authority away by way of anointing them, laying on of hands, so to speak, and conveying his spiritual authority that he received when he was baptized, symbolized by the descent of the dove and the voice that he heard, "Behold, this is my son with whom I am very well pleased." All of that was an indication that Jesus understood himself as having received some sort of charge and authority to go and do something. And we know that what led that authority led him into the wilderness thereafter, immediately thereafter, to be tested and tempted, to put that mission to test. And it's from this background that Jesus in likewise then passes on that authority to his disciples. So again, how do you get things done? How do you do things? Connect up with a higher spiritual authority and power. Now that begs the question, how, right? And from our perspective and our collective experience, the wisdom that we gain is that the primary way that that spiritual authority and power passes on to each of us is in our consenting in the silence. That, in essence, is the deepest way a human being can consent to receive something that is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ's spiritual power and authority. So if you want to do something, if you want to know how to do something, I suggest do nothing and sit in the silence. Answer number three. The authority, the power will come to you. That's all I do. That's all I do. I spent years preparing, I spent years reading, and then I realized, really, what I need to do is spend more time in the silence. And that's it. That is the means by which the spiritual authority from Christ continues to be passed on to the people of God, to the people who are waiting and wanting authority and power ability to do something beyond more than just their personality or their own stuck in the circle of recurrence of how you always do things and it never really bears fruit and always gets stuck or jammed up against something and it doesn't seem to reach its fullness or its conclusion, you might wonder, where is your spiritual authority coming from? In many cases, what we're doing is not connected to any spiritual authority apart from our own name. And because it's only connected to the authority of our own name, it doesn't bear the utmost fruit, the spiritual fruitfulness that Jesus says, I've come so that you might have life and have it to the full. That's because, in part, we're not connected to the name of Jesus. That is a euphemism for the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that living power was diffused into the universe through the resurrection. So it's available like a signal to pick up on and acquire in our own lives physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. So you might ask yourself, under whose name are you operating? And come underneath a different authority than just your own and sit in the silence a little bit more. Fourthly, there's eight or so points tonight. Fourthly, notice, take nothing for the journey. Take nothing for the journey. Neither a walking stick, nor a sack, nor money, nor food. And don't even take a second tunic. Okay, so this is a comprehensive way of Jesus saying, the way you do something is by utterly trusting in source. Utterly trusting in source. Now, all these things here, the staff, the sack, the food, the money, the tunic, all those things are symbols of the ordinary things human beings use to get things done. The staff represents our GPS system. The sack represents our suitcase, all our stuff that we take with us, our bag of books, our degrees, our credibility, our reputation, our skill set. Our money represents the agency to do in this world. If you have money, you can do pretty much anything. And obviously the food represents our power source, a sense of where we're getting energy from. And then the tunic represents our sense of security. The second coat, our clothing, our sense of identity. And don't even rely upon a hotel. Don't stay at hotels. Stay at someone's house. And if they're kind to you, let them welcome you and you go and you come, but you stay there. All these things that represent security, power, the capacity to do, agency, Jesus says, no, don't have any of those things. And this is indicating to us a fourth dynamic of how to answer that question, how we do things in life. Trust in source. It's not saying that food won't be provided, that money won't be provided, that clothing won't be provided, that a GPS system won't be provided, that food won't be provided. It's not saying that at all. It's saying don't bring your own. In other words, let source provide it for you. Key insight. Now, this can be abused and misused. I remember when I was a junior in high school, I knew I was weak in algebra and geometry, and as I got ready to study for my ACT and SAT tests, I was terribly nervous because I knew I would not succeed in those tests, those areas of the tests. So sure enough, the test comes around and I just had a carefree attitude. I was a new Christian. I said, God will provide. I will just trust in the Lord. I'm not going to burden myself to study too much. I did what I did. I did what I could do. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I go into the test and sure enough, I've got half the questions left and 10 more minutes to do them. And so what I did is, I said a little prayer, Holy Spirit, just bless me. You know I need a score to get into college. And I just went, doot, 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 doot. I just filled them in randomly. Well, I got my scores back, and those random answers got me a nice 26 on that ACT part of the score. I think the top was like 30 or 32 or something like that. In other words, you know you can take this to an extreme of not doing anything, just trusting in the Lord. And I don't think that's really what the invitation is. The invitation is to play your part to the utmost and trust source to give you what you need to do. And I'm grateful that score came in the way it did. It helped me get into college. But ultimately, That's not the way of wisdom. Foolishness is not the way of wisdom. Trusting is the way of wisdom. And they're very different, and it's different for each of us. And I think that perhaps each of us needs to learn more and more as we go through life how we uniquely and personally are being asked to trust Source for what we're asked to do in this world. And then, how do we take care of ourselves? This question gets us to the psalm. And this notion of falsehood. From every evil way I withhold from my feet, that I may keep your words. Through your precepts I gain discernment. Therefore I hate every false way. Falsehood I hate and abhor. Your law I love. Perhaps the notion of falsehood could be more winsomely translated for our purpose as unconsciousness. I hate unconsciousness. I hate how I behave when I am unconscious. I hate what happens to my life when I fall asleep, when I drift into mechanicality. And so how we take care of ourselves, primary uno number one thing, is to seek to stay awake. And how do we stay awake? Well, the primary influence here, it was in the response. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. The foot is always the image for the lowest level of humankind. It's where the foot reaches and touches the earth, as Maurice Nicholas taught us, that this is the place where we are most unconscious, where the influences of the earth at the lowest level of consciousness come into contact with our way, the way we choose to live. It's a beautiful symbol. And the influence that gets in between the foot hitting the earth is, your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. So the word represents, again, that influence from above that is beyond our own intellect, our own capacity to know or understand. The word is wisdom symbolized by the lamp or the light, which is another way of talking about consciousness. Consciousness is this light that gets in between our vulnerability and susceptibility and tendency to fall asleep on ourselves and walk the way of dust, walk the way of mechanicality, walk the way of the sleepers who miss out on so much of life and so much of possibility and so much of God because we are at the lower level of human existence, the level of the earth, from which we all evolved, from which the animals come from. And the invitation is to have that interception of the light, the lamp that guides us and gets in between and shows us how to take care of ourselves by being more awake. And it doesn't take very many unconscious experiences in life to wake us up and realize that if I keep choosing this, if I keep acting this way, if I keep this manner of thought, this disposition of mind, this continuous habit of feeling, that I am not fully living, I am missing out on something more, and my intuitive guidance system is telling me something, that I can be more awake. My dimness can be raised by the Word of God, which is the wisdom of God, which is in a sense the light, the best light that we've got on this planet. And that word, that wisdom that becomes light, is equal to the silence. And the silence is equal to the word, which becomes wisdom. The word and the silence of God are vibrating at the same energetic level. The silence bursts the word, and the word bursts the silence. That's what Lectio Divina shows us. That's what scriptures show us. That anyone who spends any time pondering or chewing the word of God in the Jewish tradition, in the Islamic tradition, in the Hindu tradition, in the Buddhist tradition, in the Christian tradition, anyone who spends any time chewing that influence that is encoded in the B influences of Holy Scriptures on this planet will be moved into silence. You cannot spend any amount of time pondering or chewing the Word of God and it not take you into silence. So it's reciprocal. The Word of God bursts the silence and the silence bursts the Word. And that, I suggest, is the primary way we can take care of ourselves, by staying awake. Sleepers, awake. Sleepers, stay awake. Not so that You can say, I'm awake, but so that you can guard your heart and your mind and your life, your very way of life, from in a sense, being fruitless, and that you can take care of yourself by watching over yourself and tuning in to that influence, that light that keeps waking us up. And as far as I can tell, life is like one of those dimmer switches. The light just keeps coming on and on and on and on. And there are times where you feel you can't bear any more light. And the light says, I've got more to give. And you can wake up more and more and more. Who knows where the end of the journey of awakening is? Who can say? Sleepers awake. Be raised into the light of Christ until resurrection takes you into the very light itself. So I hope these are some ideas by way of answering those two powerful questions. How do you do in life? How do you get things done? And how do you take care of yourself? There's wisdom in knowing to trust an authority other than ourselves to do what we need to do. And you may be very successful at doing what you need to do, but you could be more successful. You could be enduring in your success by trusting in another kind of authority than just yourself, and trusting in that wisdom that is light to take care of your very life and those you love. Wisdom will show the way and will protect us and provide for. Amen. Thank you for your presence here this evening. It's been a blessing to me. Beginning next week, our bread will be gluten-free, and the cup to the farthest of the wall will be non-alcoholic grape juice. The love of God, the grace of Jesus, peace and presence of the Holy Spirit be with each of us until we meet again. Amen.